George.
I will
go to your website and post your documents to the task force. I really appreciate your comments. Does anyone have specific questions for George before we move on to Lauren?
I've got a question for George, Merlin.
And you are?
This is Danny Younger.
Hi, Danny. Go ahead.
George, as I understand it, the NAMES Council and their respective task forces have a particular remit, a purpose, and that is specifically the management of the consensus process as it relates to policy matters. My question very specifically is this. I'm looking at this situation, and I'm not sure I see which policy matters are implicated. From your point of view, what are the policy matters here?
Well, I think the major policy matters are that it's creating a new monopoly in a market which already exists and is a competitive market at the registrar level. To take it to the registry level and destroy competition is definitely against ICANN's policies promoting competition. Also, individual registrars have contracts with ICANN, and I think if you look at some of that, I raised some of these issues on the DNSO GA list. I think they'll be able to challenge WLS if it is implemented, because there's several points in their contracts that allows them to do so. Not to mention the wider antitrust concerns, which the DOJ and FTC and other regulatory agencies outside of ICANN will definitely be looking at. And if you notice, you don't see too many postings from VeriSign or SnapNames anymore, because that's free discovery in case of a lawsuit or something.
I have a question for George.
Could I please get onto the queue?
I have Thomas, but I didn't recognize the first speaker.
Jeff Williams.
Okay, Jeff, and then Thomas.
George, do you think that in the course of the transfer task force that we have currently set up, that adequate and reasonable dissemination of different views has been able to be put forth currently, or do you think that maybe the better venue would be on the GA list?
Well, I don't like to comment too much on the process, because I think everybody's trying to do as good a job as possible as they can. I haven't seen too many posts on the transfer list. Like, it's been fairly low volume list, so I assume that they've been doing some stuff via conference calls that I've not participated in, but probably Marilyn Cage could probably better comment on that.
Okay.
I think we've had our chance to be listened to. It's just a matter of how many times can VeriSign bring this forward when it's already been rejected so many times.
Agreed.
Thomas?
I would like to take, this is Thomas Weisler speaking, I would like to take up Danny's question concerning what kind of policy is involved with WLS. First of all, Danny, please take the 20 March version of the WLS proposal, that's the one VeriSign forwarded to ICANN. Go to page 6.4.a. There we have some sketch of what is supposed to go into the service agreement, and this includes nothing else but policy with respect to the side effects of UDRP proceedings for a domain name, which are as far as they extend to WLS. What is in there is based, as we have heard, on input received from the intellectual property constituency. And while I congratulate them to getting this in, this is the kind of deliberation which precisely the kind of deliberation which should happen within a DNSO policy-making process and not between VeriSign and the IPC. I'm very sorry, but this is clearly policy-making. That's the first example. The second example was also in George's comments, and that's the question, what additional policy may be necessary in order to design a waiting list service in a way which is consistent with ICANN's core values. One of the key core values in this case is competition. And, well, I hope I'm not accused of holding the microphone, but I would like to give an example for a short thought experiment. Let's imagine we have a domain name which is registered by some large registrar. The domain name expires. The registrar does not issue a delete command in a timely manner, so the domain is expired, and it's basically under the control of that registrar. Now, let's assume WLF is in place. Someone places a WLF subscription, first through a different registrar. Then, the registrar, which controls the domain name, won't even learn about that WLF subscription. So, the registrar in question, well, can continue to do nothing, continue to control the domain. Let's, on the other hand, assume that the WLF subscription is placed through the very registrar which holds, or which controls, I'm sorry, which controls the domain, the expired domain name. In this case, the registrar himself, of course, knows that there is a WLF subscription. He even knows that the subscriber will be a customer of his as soon as the subscription succeeds. Of course, what will the registrar do? He will issue the delete command, WLF will kick in, and the domain name will be registered to that registrar's new customer. So, what this creates, if you take it together with domain name hoarding, is an environment in which particularly large registrars can deliver basically superior WLF service to those who choose them for their subscription. And, well, as we all know, gossip spreads quickly, and I would suppose that this would be quickly known. So what would be the actual marketplace with WLF? You look for a domain name. You notice it has expired, but it's not released. You look what registrar is it with. You go to that registrar, and you place your WLF subscription through precisely that registrar and not a single different one. So the net effect is that without uniform deletion policy about which George has been talking, WLF would be extremely dangerous to competition between registrars. It could only lead to the level playing field about we have all been hearing so much if deletion of the domain names would happen completely independently of the existence of any WLF subscriptions, and if it would happen in a uniform, predictable, and timely manner. For this reason, I believe that there is a huge need for policy making with respect to deletions. Just as George said, before WLF should even be considered. And I think,
agreed,
since this is a kind of policy which requires a consensus policy process, since it's a modification to the registrar accreditation agreement, that this is precisely the DNSO's matter. So this is certainly on topic with the DNSO, and also competition deliberations are on topic with the DNSO because they can lead to new policy requirements. I'm sorry for talking so long. Thanks for your time.
Thomas, thank you very much. We're going to go on to our presentation from Lauren, and then from Lauren to Paul.
Marilyn, could I just say something just before you go on?
Certainly.
Dan Steinberg.
And this is Rick?
Yes, Dan Steinberg here.
Oh, Dan Steinberg. Sorry, Dan, I didn't... Yes.
Sorry. You probably didn't hear me investigate the queue last time.
I did, and I apologize.
That's all right. My mic was probably down or something. I'd just like to briefly talk about the intellectual property issue. I've been hearing people on both sides of this thing talk about intellectual property as if it's somehow related, and as someone who's been looking at this thing for 6 years now, I just can't see how something specific like this proposal either would impact intellectual property one way or another. It seems pretty neutral to me, claiming that it either helps the IPC or hinders them seems a bit of a stretch to me. The example that George gave back there seems, well, I couldn't off the top of my head say, yeah, that would be an example of anything that you're worrying about or not, that's for a judge to decide. So I'd just like to caution everyone to keep things on the straight and narrow and think of stuff that we can actually get a handle on, like the policy issues that Thomas just talked about, straying into intellectual property and into FTC and antitrust considerations. We're really getting way away from what our mandate is, our level of expertise. Does that sound like a reasonable thing to say?
Mer-
right, Marilyn, should I begin now?
Yes. Before you begin, someone has the mic open, I believe, and it's very noisy. Can I ask you to mute your speakerphone?
I'm sorry, this sounded like star six, which doesn't seem to work with this kind of bridge.
Yeah, I think that seems to solve it. Okay, Marie, can you call the operator, have her check the line individually, there on the noise, or the noise factor. Okay, I'll be back. Lauren?
Yes.
I think you're up, and we'll ask you to just go ahead.
Okay. Hello, everybody, and good afternoon. Lauren Stocker from Vanity International. I guess before I get into this, I wanted to briefly mention that wasn't my 7-minute statement, the question that followed a few minutes ago. I am Lauren. Organization I represent is an organization called Impulse, and we are interactive marketing professionals. We are primarily customers and domain registrants. And our experience is along the lines of toll-free numbers. And our interest, of course, in domains is matching, you know, domains and toll-free numbers to create brands. So from our point of view, this is very much a consumer issue. I am not a registrar, although I am a reseller of a few different registrars just for the benefit of having access. The first thing I wanted to suggest here and say, and you know, we've come over the years to greatly respect VeriSign as a both fair and impartial, you know, as being a both fair and impartial with respect to release and reassignment of domains. And many of our members, in fact, have been greatly benefited from the fact that they don't self-deal. We've seen an amazing, valuable domains simply deleted, and people are allowed to register them. You know, of course, now it's become very competitive and it's difficult to do, but the point is that, you know, we hold VeriSign in great regard, which may not be evident from the following comments that we have to make about the waitlist service. And, you know, of course, Chuck Gomez, I'm assuming you're still on the line, you know, we understand your charge here. It seems to make sense to go forward on this, but frankly, we beg to differ. Our presentation I'm about to give here is short, just two quick pages. If anyone's interested, they can go to www.evil.biz. Yes, that's EBIL.biz. Make sure you click through the first page, because if you play around the buttons on the side, you won't be able to get back there. You'll have to reload Evil Biz. And I, of course, am the most evil one. VeriSign's proposed waitlist service is a scheme that predetermines the outcome of an otherwise competitive domain assignment for a fee. Unlike the commonly understood waitlist, where any and all prospective customers are welcome for free, VeriSign's waitlist is a misnomer for the sale of an exclusive reassignment option that forecloses competition. Hence, we shall refer to it as the waitlist option or the WLS option. In the event of a deletion, the waitlist option guarantees the reassignment of a unique internet address to whomever holds the option while other interested parties helplessly watch. The fact that the option itself is sold months in advance on a first-come, first-served basis is irrelevant, as the affected participants have not agreed to foreclose their right to compete on the day of the reassignment. Nor can anyone who develops an interest in the meantime go back in time to compete for this option.
Correct.
Most troubling, VeriSign's proposed service allows perfect strangers to option some of the Internet's most visible addresses, Amazon.com, eBay, Yahoo, AOL, and, of course, yours. The only way the affected companies can prevent this is to option the address themselves at 6 times or more the annual fee for the domain. Of course, for those who haven't heard about this, quote, legitimate service, it's too late. One option per domain. It's essential to recognize that the waitlist option does not merely raise trademark issues, as it affects everyone with a domain, even generic ones.
Right.
Its very existence threatens the current domain holder with a certainty that henceforth their domain is irrecoverably lost in the event of an inadvertent and negligent expiration. VeriSign calls this, quote, protection. We call this waitlist option an unlawful interference in the prospective economic advantage. Further, the waitlist option restrains trade by predetermining the outcome of a competitive event that should be open to the public. Finally, by extracting a fee for this predetermination, the waitlist of the VeriSign Registry Group is in effect selling influence. Now, we have no problem at all with the waitlist service done at the registrar level. In fact, there are several companies who provide the service today, but do not hold the monopoly position of the registry and cannot control the outcome. Rather, registrars sell options that predetermine agency. Then, if and when the deletion takes place, the customer controls nothing more than the fiduciary duty of the registrar to compete on their behalf. There is no foreclosure of others' rights. No rigged outcomes, just healthy competition. Evidently, the prospect of harvesting millions of annual revenues has blinded VeriSign to their responsibility to safeguard this public resource. We are appalled at we appeal to those of you charged with oversight to protect the public from VeriSign. Specifically, here are 10 factors that expose this scam for what it is. Number one, we contend that the Internet addressing system is a public resource. Number two, we contend that VeriSign's contract requires it act as a public trustee. Number three, we contend that this waitlist service is a negative option imposed upon the current domain holder. Take it or face the certainty that negligence or mistakes become irreparable. Number four, we contend the sale of waitlist options.
Lauren,
let me
just tell people what's going on. The operator is checking the line and asking people if they are the noise to please mute their phones. So pardon the beeps. It'll be through soon. Keep going, Lauren. Sorry.
Okay. I think we're number four. We contend that the sale of waitlist options is in effect an unlawful interference with the prospective economic advantage of current domain holders. Tempted to say something about that because it may be a legal concept, and I wholly disagree with the prior speaker that says, you know, the antitrust issues and intellectual properties, you know, are not relevant here. They're extremely relevant. In fact, they are the essence. What happens here is that I, as a domain holder, have no choice but to buy the option myself. And let's suppose I'm Amazon.com or eBay. They now have.
Hello.
Yes, dear.
Pardon the interruption. I just got a call from someone in your office that said you had noise on your line.
Yes, operator.
Okay, is everything all right now?
I think it is. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Have a great day.
Okay, are we all set, Marilyn?
Hope so.
Okay, hope so. this little side here, though, is what if it's eBay.com and someone's bought an option, a waitlist service option on their domain? Well, you know, if they lost it, they have the duty to inform the public investors of this situation, that someone, some third party unrelated to eBay, has reversionary rights in their domain, which is, as everyone's aware, that's the heart of their business. This is a huge harm, and it's what it's called in law, I believe, is interference with prospective economic advantage. Number five, we contend that the waitlist service is a restraint of trade, as it predetermines the outcome of an otherwise competitive domain assignment. Number six, we contend that the reassignment of any and all domains at the registry level is a primary assignment. It's flawed logic to suggest that the waitlist option is a participation in the secondary market. It's a primary assignment. We contend that the government's contract requires that VeriSign received a fixed fee to facilitate primary domain assignments, predetermined or not. We contend that VeriSign is engaged in the sale of influence by taking fees beyond their mandated $6 for a predetermination of a primary domain assignment. In fact, the waitlist option itself fits VeriSign. VeriSign's own definition of what's called abusive speculation.
Right.
Number nine, we contend that the 12-month trial, which has a 24-month effect, will cause irreparable harm to current and prospective domain subscribers that would be barred by the courts, even if approved by this committee. And finally, we contend that ICANN and VeriSign have failed to establish the most basic subscriber right, which would inherently allow subscribers to recover domains that are inadvertently overdue or stolen, and thus invalidate the need for any, quote, protection. Finally, the arrogance in which this unneeded, unwanted waitlist option is being forced on the public leads us to suspect that VeriSign has somehow corrupted those charged with its oversight. We hereby appeal to the Commerce Department and those in Congress charged with oversight to inquire into this scheme. In conclusion, the registrar-level services offered today work fine for the very consumers that VeriSign Registry Group claims to have at heart. Even VeriSign Registry Group offered several success stories, the U.S. Marshal, American Express, and so forth. Competitive reassignments with uncertain outcomes are not a problem, but the best indications of the market at work, with all participants welcome. This waitlist service is no different from selling insurance on your house to some stranger and then barring you from this protection. And you can't just switch to another insurance company because the registry, of course, controls the whole thing. You're really stuck at that point. We oppose this waitlist option in any form. It cannot be fixed, cannot be fine-tuned, cannot be sunrised, it cannot be repackaged. It cannot be priced to sell. The registry-level waitlist option simply should not exist, period. And in addition to what we've discussed here, that's the introduction to about 7 or 8 pages of our views you can find at www.evil.biz. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have a question or two before we move to our last scheduled presenter? I have a couple on clarification, but I'll come back to those later. Paul?
Is that Paul Stahura?
It is, I hope, Paul Stahura.
It's going to be real quick. First, I'd like to say that I agree with most of the people who are opposing the WLS, although I just want to stress, you know, there's a lot of reasons why I oppose it, but I'm just going to talk about one right now, which is I think that the waitlist subscription would give an advantage to larger registrars, specifically VeriSign registrars, since, you know, they have the most names. And to give this advantage to the larger registrars over the smaller registrars, and this advantage doesn't exist today. Right now, all the registrars are pretty much competing equally to get deleted names. Anyway, the reason why I think that the larger registrars will have this advantage is because only a registrar would know when names will be deleted ahead of their actual deletion, and thus they could control the waitlist subscriptions for those names, or they could offer the waitlist subscriptions for those names at less risk than the other registrars. In other words, if I'm a large registrar and I know somebody submitted a command that says delete a name or didn't renew it, I know that I'm about to do that deletion. So therefore, I could offer that waitlist subscription at less risk. In other words, if I offer it to my customer, I could say you're definitely going to get the subscription and we'll write them. Whereas if another registrar offered it to their customer, that customer wouldn't know whether they were going to get the name or not, because I could never delete the name. So anyway, I believe that there's going to be this unfair competitive advantage to larger registrars that doesn't exist today. I'm suggesting I agree, I guess, with the previous speaker who said, you know, it's really hard to, it's impossible to fix it, it's hard to tweak it to get it to actually, you know, to be a good thing. But if it was implemented, at the very minimum, I suggest that the waitlist subscriptions be prohibited for any names that have already expired. And I suggest an alternative to waitlist subscription would be something like a deterministic land rush style method to redistributing deleted names.
Paul?
Yep.
Can I ask you, do you mind putting your just a short summary of your comments into an email that we could post?
Sure.
That would be helpful. For any of the rest of you, I think I have the sites for most of the prepared comments. I want to have...
Where would I send the message?
Send them to me and I'll post them.
Alrighty.
mkate@att.com.
Okay.
There are, I think, I'm going to turn to Thomas and Alex for just a minute, and Dan, for any further comments from the GA, because there has been extensive discussion on the GA. And then I want to go back and take a cue for other statements and comments. Thomas?
I should be hearable again now, I hope.
Yes.
Thank you. Well, there was a pretty extensive discussion of the WLS proposal on the GA list. Quite a bit of it focused on the question, what happens to the existing participants in expired domain name dealings. What happens to them, what happens to their existing market registrar-based systems, etc. We had that already. The argument that, or the question, what the hell does Verisign give the right to place such an option on my domain name, came also, of course, up in the discussion. Another, if my recollection is correct, rather crucial point should have been the request for uniform deletion policy, the rationale being mostly, before we get into distributing deleted names, we should get them onto the marketplace again. And there have been some postings, pretty compelling postings, which indicate that we currently really do have a hoarding problem, just in case anyone doubts it. And the request is the one which I also made in my earlier statement, that there should be an explicit policy and procedure for the handling of expired registrations as referenced in points 375 and 3711 of the Registrar Accreditation Agreement. I actually believe that most of the other arguments which were made during the GA discussions already occurred. Since I joined a little late, I'm not entirely sure what you have heard about the statements made, for instance, by Louis Touton on the WLS, because his analysis directed to the board, he also addresses the advantage for snap name, which was also a topic which did show up in the GA discussion. Well, I don't see anything more right now which didn't show up in the discussion already, so I will no longer block the microphone.
Thomas, thank you. Alexander or Dan, do either one of you want to add anything before we go to other comments and questions?
I think most of the arguments have been raised already now.
Okay. Dan?
Yeah, this is Dan here. Sorry, my mic was off. Trying to be a good corporate citizen here. I'd just like to reiterate one more time. We are not the ones discussing intellectual property or antitrust issues. It's all very fine while we talk about them. I am not a fan of the WLS. I think it's not going to be in the best interest of consumers, but you know, I'd like to keep it on a level of things that you can discuss and invest and talk about in an authoritative manner. I got my law degree over 20 years ago, and I would not claim to be an expert on antitrust or SEC issues, so I don't think you're in the right place for that.
Dan, I'm sorry, I can hardly hear you. Could you try to speak louder, please?
I'm very sorry. Should I repeat everything I just said?
I hope it's sufficient if you just continue louder, but it's really hard to follow you.
I was just saying that was all I had to say.
Dan, let me see if I can summarize. So what you're saying is that And I just want to be sure I understand for the record and for my own edification, you're saying that the issues of antitrust or of IP protection, and this is the part I'm trying to understand, you don't think are topics that should be addressed within this task force?
That is correct. I think it is intellectual property control. Can everyone hear me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just barely, yeah.
I think the WLS appears unless you insert some tribunal in there and decide who gets the waiting for a particular domain. I think that the whole system is intellectual property neutral, not pro-IP interest or pro-consumers or pro-anybody or anything.
Mm-hmm.
So I think talking about it in that context is really irrelevant.
Let me offer a clarification let me offer a statement and ask for comments from the group, because I heard something different in the examples that were raised by people who mentioned IP interest. And so let me try it and see if people agree. I thought what a couple of people said was that in a situation, and I will take the example of a famous and well-known mark, that of my own company, that is the world's 10th most well-known brand, where, so I'm not picking on anybody else, I thought the question was, would such a corporation have no choice but to proactively buy WLS in order to keep others from doing so and from grabbing their name should it lapse for some reason? That's different, I think, than incentive would, I think, extend to anyone who has a significant brand identity, regardless of their size or whether they are an individual, if that identity is important to them. And that's what I thought was being said.
Marilyn, can I interject? This is Jeff Williams.
Certainly.
I don't see that there's any additional, from what you just said, that there's any additional exposure to AT&T or any other famous mark. Having a little experience in that area, it seems to me that, yeah, WLS does not address that problem, however. So you really don't know the answer to, I take it, the question that you have as it relates to WLS. However, you have the same protections under the Lanham Act that you always had.
I don't think we're talking about protection, and that's the part I'm trying to...
I know you're talking about possibly somebody inadvertently registering AT&T.com, BizNet.org, or whatever it is.
Or eBay, but I think, Jeff, I'm not trying to have a debate about it. I'm trying to put a statement out, ask the people who raised the question to clarify what they meant.
Can I make a point here?
Marilyn, I have a very on-topic comment here, if I may.
And this is?
This is Lauren.
Yes, Lauren?
Yeah, VeriSign's own proposal, if I recall, I don't have it in front of me, chapter and verse, said that uniform dispute would not apply here. But moreover, the reality seems to be that a waitlist option is not actual harm. It's a legal concept, and if there's not actual harm, you can't take it to court. My point is that I could go out, or Dave, as he mentioned earlier, could go out and option any domain they want, intellectual property or not. There's no actual harm, so you're not damaged, so you don't have any cause of action. But at the same time, unless you make an argument that you're damaged with your shareholders and so forth, it's not a direct thing you can take to uniform dispute resolution. So what the easy thing to do, of course, is to pay off the person who squatted it and get out of it. And that's just another method of extortion.
This is Brett. Can I interject something on that point?
Yes, Brett, you can, but I want to take a cue because I had tried to make a statement asking for comments and clarification, and so is your comment about my effort to seek clarification?
My comment is about a solution to this idea that, to the problem that...
Brett, so is that yes it is?
it relates to the question you asked. I think I've got an answer. I mean,
that's fine, Brett. I'm just trying to take a cue, so I'll put you at the top of the cue.
Okay.
Can I just see if anyone else would like to speak?
Dan Steinberg.
George Kripos, too.
Rick Wesson.
Hold on, you guys are...
And Jeff Williams again as well.
Okay, I have Brett, I have Dan, I have...
George,
I heard Rick Wesson.
Danny Younger.
Danny, and I have Jeff. Do I have anyone else? Okay, let's go, Brett.
Okay, as to the idea that we're going to force famous mark owners to buy off someone who has... bought the waiting list service from them or purchased the waiting list service themselves. I mean, I think there are some easy solutions to that. Perhaps the easiest one, the one that occurs to me, is simply have a rule that you can only get a waiting list on a name that's scheduled to expire in less than a year. And that way, anyone who had a multi-year registration, you could not get a waiting list service on it. And if, for some reason, a domain name goes to less than a year and someone does get a waiting list service on it, if that person then renews for multi-years, waiting list dissolves. It would be an easy way to make sure that Microsoft and AT&T aren't out there having to buy waiting list service themselves or having to report to someone else that someone's got a reversionary right in their domain name. I think most corporate trademark owners, most corporate domain name owners are already doing multi-year registration. It would protect their domain names absolutely. I have more general comments, but that was particularly relevant to your question.
Okay, thanks. Let's go to the next comment, and then we'll come back with other questions and comments. Dan?
I think I'll pass now.
Okay, George?
Well, I think the whole intellectual property point would have never come up unless VeriSign had introduced it as an advantage of WS to begin with. Mm-hmm. And I presented a whole bunch of counterexamples showing that it definitely is, a red herring and that doesn't help them or hurt them. To some extent, though, as Brett suggested, people might feel compelled to get a WS lot, and this actually goes into to protect their brand, and this actually goes into the uniform deletions policy and also the rights to recover a domain if it's accidentally deleted. Like right now, we don't really have a policy per se of what happens. And this actually goes into the deeper policy issues that Dan Halloran raised initially. These are the kinds of things that we should be looking at before we go into a WLS.
My comment on that is that I do want to, after this cue, go to a discussion about some of these things that have been sort of raised, like a uniform approach to deletions, the interaction between redemption and deletions, things of that nature. But let's continue the queue for now, and we are at Rick Wesson.
Thanks, Marilyn. I just wanted to make the point that I like the suggestion about this not being able to put a WLS on a domain that has multiple years registration. But I still have a problem with any new offering by the registry that creates a situation where the registrant feels compelled now to do something, to act, specifically to give registrars more money or give the registry more money, one way or the other. Just that this offering is out there is going to compel people to, buy more services. And I mean, I'm a registrar. I would make money doing this. But I think that it's wrong that we are talking about creating services that anyone that owns any kind of name that they feel that they have an interest in, whether it's, they actually own some intellectual property with the same name, or they just happen to have a website that gets lots of hits and it's their name. These people are going to feel compelled to go out and register additional years or go out and purchase a WLS, and I don't think this is the kind of industry that we're trying to build or should be building or should be fostering. Anytime that we come out with a new domain, we have a huge interest by the intellectual property industry in securing those names, and I've seen it there, and I just don't think that it would be good to extend this to everyone else. And so I cannot support any kind of initiative that would bring that across the board to everyone. And this is the compelling nature that I was talking about, and that, you know, if we're going to have some kind of WLS and it's going to be some kind of test bed or just marketing test or something like that, we need to remove this compelling nature from the test. Okay? That's my comment. Thanks.
Thank you, Rick. We are at Danny.
Marilyn, I wanted to be able to discuss the terms of reference and timetable for the task force whenever you deem that appropriate.
Sure, we'll put that on after we get to a couple more questions.
Fine, thank you.
Marilyn, is there room in the queue for comment on topic here? This is Lauren.
I'm sorry, too?
Lauren?
Yes, Lauren, we'll have Jeff, and then we'll have Lauren. Jeff?
Yes. Well, I agree with much of what Lauren said earlier, and except that I don't know that there's such a problem with WLS being a concern for intellectual property with regards to somebody just going out and stealing the name. And the other comment, I believe, was from Dan regarding extension or long-term registration. I think that just postpones the problem rather than solves it. In other words, it addresses a symptom, not the issue. With regards to, like, AT&T.com being, that Marilyn had originally brought up in this discussion, being a concern that if it was only a 2 or 3 year registration or a 1 year registration, then down the road, when if they forgot or didn't renew it or whatever, that somebody could pick it up through WLS. But I agree with Lauren, again, that, yeah, WLS sets up the scenario where something like that could definitely happen to a Famous Mark or to anybody's mark. And I would also add that, you know, those domain names that are registered under as a common mark would be just as much impacted, which also kind of goes along with Lauren's original presentation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Great. Thank you, Jeff. And Lauren?
Just to follow up on, I believe Dave said about the compellingness of this. I mean, this is really pay me now or pay me later.
Yeah.
Either way, we lose. I mean, if you're a Famous Mark, you're forced to, you know, spend 8 years out in order to, or at least the minimum of a year, in order to avoid being on a wait list. And I guess my little comment, and back in my details, there's a lot of writing in there, but how is this different from what the mob used to do? It's protection money. You pay me, or I will do harm to you. And that's exactly what this wait list service is. It's protection, in their own words. Protection.
Robbery without a gun.
Okay, guys, I'm going to do a couple of statements and ask people to respond to them. First of all, remember that our charge really is to try to be responsive to the request from the board that was given to the Names Council and referred to the Transfer Task Force. We will have only begun a comprehensive review of issues concerning deletion of domain names, and so we need to, as a task force, and I really appreciate all of the guests who have participated today, and we really welcome the insights that you have provided. We're going to need to hear more from all of you, but we will need to sort out a more comprehensive review of issues concerning the deletion of domain names and solutions, possible solutions to those issues over the next several weeks, but realize that we have a status report due relatively shortly on what we are doing and what progress we've made. Anyone on the list, anyone on the call, or anyone in your constituency or in the GA who would like to submit further information, a lot has already been provided. Please work through your task force members so that we can have some organized input and it can all be posted. That would be greatly appreciated. We are asked to provide supporting material, and that's why this is important. I would like to ask for anyone on the call who presently provides a deleted domain name service, if any of the providers of that service wish to make any comments about the impact that WLS will have on them.